North at the Emerson exit, we're looking at a wreck there. You'll see it on the left side of the highway. Not too much backup just yet. The wreck just happened on I-10 East from Cassett to 95. Traffic's building. And if you're 295 North, starting at Gate Parkway to Phillips Highway, we're seeing backup. Sunny today, a high of 68. This evening will be partly cloudy with a low of 45. Right now it's cold, 37 here at WBOB. And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows. Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for congressional members if a budget is not passed. And the Jacksonville mayor, the sheriff, and the state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
3 minutes after the hour. Good morning, Ed Dean. Roger Henderson, literally the three fastest hours anywhere. And morning talk radio panel discussion, of course, a lot of the issues we've already been talking about, Roger. Our good friends, businessmen and councilman Matt Schellenberg in the studios. David Cotton, one of the best business reporters out there for the Jax Daily Record. Go to jaxdailyrecord.com. Nancy Pelosi says we need to delay the State of the Union address. I mean, what have you? I don't remember years as a reporter ever hearing about this, but she says until the government shutdown, clip number 13, until the government shutdown is taken care of, she says that maybe the president should just delay it, but hasn't given you a timeline.
No response yet from the White House to that suggestion from House Speaker Nancy Pelosi that President Trump postpone his State of the Union address. But this question tonight, does she have the power to make that happen?
In a bold power play, the Speaker of the House tonight is sending a pointed message to President Trump, suggesting no deal to reopen the government, no State of the Union.
But on clip number 12, Nancy could block the president from a State of the Union address. Technically, no. She can block it from the U.S. House chambers. He could do it somewhere else. But again, she just sits back and says, until we find something resolved, it maybe should be indefinite. Clip number 12.
In her surprise letter, the speaker writing, Dear Mr. President, sadly, given the security concerns and unless government reopens this week, I suggest that we work together to determine another suitable date. Pelosi's other suggestion, consider delivering your State of the Union address in writing.
She's live up at the Hill again tonight for us. Mary, bottom line, does Speaker Pelosi really have the power to disinvite the president from the State of the Union?
Yes, David, the Speaker of the House does have the power to block the president from delivering the State of the Union address from the House chamber, but he could deliver it elsewhere, possibly even from the Republican-controlled Senate.
David Cotton from the Jax Daily Record. Listen, this is all about going after Trump. I get it from the left, but I will tell you, this is gutsy. I mean, I'm using it as a polite word that the Dems are using. They're not holding back. Some people could sit back and say the Republicans could probably learn from something like this. You know what? Maybe Trump should do it from Trump Tower. I don't know.
Well, it certainly speaks to the dysfunction right now that's happening in Washington. I mean, both of these sides are squabbling over a State of the Union address when parts of the government remain shut down and they can't seem to sit together. It reminds me of like high school girls who can't get along. And
like the movie Mean Girls?
Yeah, absolutely. This is what our federal government has turned into.
You know, Matt,
I've never seen the movie Mean Girls, but you know, it's not something I would watch.
Some research for
you. No, it's not a bad movie. It's not Radar. It's nothing bad.
It's mean, though.
No, it's a comedy.
Apparently so.
But no, I mean, but Matt, when you look at this, again, this is quite, I mean, do we see this on city council?
No, I don't think.
Maybe we should be kind of more covered.
But it's interesting enough, I think historically, I think the president did hand deliver the State of the Union address to Congress. I don't know when it actually changed.
Mid-70s,
okay. And the other thing is that I think the Homeland Security person said, no, there's not going to be a security. In fact, Nancy Pelosi did not actually reach out to her to say, is the security going to be there? I think it's petty, and it's. I don't think it's good. I think people are turned off. I would love to see the numbers on news media and see how people are just turning this off and just closing themselves.
Well, historically, whenever the president does do a State of the Union address or any address to Congress, he gets a bump in the polls.
Yeah.
I think she wants to deny him that.
Yep.
There's no requirement that he do it, as we've been reporting, in the House chambers. He could do it at the Florida legislature, for crying out loud, if he wanted to.
Do you think this helps his popularity or not?
It depends on whether or not he can make the speech. If they stop him and force him to do it in writing, I think it hurts.
Clip number two. Bill de Blasio, the New York City mayor, was on TV this past week, and he says it was the moderates like Hillary, the reason why the Democrats lost in 2016. He says, we got a lot more room to move to the left.
It's on my job, but listen, Right now, our party is going through a serious debate. And there's still a lot of moderate voices in the party that did not learn the lessons of 2016 and are not listening to what people need in this country. So I want to push this whole party. We could go a lot farther. We could be a lot bolder than what we're doing now.
David, you know, the New York Times had an article that came out this past week that talked about even the in Florida Democrats. The only people, I mean, Lisa King, who I get along with, I differ with her. But even when losing, they think that they've won because Andrew Gillum actually only lost by fewer votes than that of Charlie Crist in 2014 and Alex Zink in 2010. And they may have a little bit of spin there that some may not disagree. He was very far left progressive compared to, quote, moderates before. Do you see this here in the state or locally that the Dems are giving up their, quote, moderate message and moving too far to the left? Or did they lose because they weren't moderate enough? Because that would disagree with Gillum. Gillum wasn't a moderate.
No, Gillum was the most progressive candidate. Gillum was the most progressive candidate that the state could put up there. State Democrats could put up there. Locally, what we see with Democrats, it is very moderate. There's very little partisan on a local level. I mean, Matt may disagree with me, but when you compare to state or federal, it's very moderate. The problem with the local Democrats here is they're not fielding candidates for big elections. There's no real candidate for sheriff. There's absolutely no candidate.
Why is that?
I'd love to know. I mean, Lisa King is now running for an at-large seat.
You know, Matt, are you stunned by that? There's not enough people on the Dem side? I mean, I hear that from Republicans in South Florida.
I think if the Dems had put up somebody for the mayor or for sheriff, it actually would help Lisa King and other people. But they didn't. So what is the incentive for? First of all, Lisa King was chairman of the Democratic Party, but 65% of the Democratic Party is African American. So I'm not sure if she'll be able to pull that group over to her side to win. It's just she's got to be from a specific area, but she runs countywide.
Well, you know, with all of the pats on the back after the November election from local Democrats here who said, you know, Blue Vol, you know, we made so many strides. It was stunning to not see them at least field a candidate for Democrat. Now, they're going to back Anna Brochet, it looks like. She seems to be the more moderate Republican compared to Lenny Curry. Who aligns himself with Donald Trump and is a little bit more partisan in that nature. But it is astonishing. And most of the local city hall reporters are still scratching their heads about this. How do you not field candidates for the biggest elections?
Let me ask you.
I think they recognize.
Okay. 60 candidates are running for city council, mayor, and all the cities combined. This news story from News 4 Jax this week that the three heads, the state attorney's office, Melissa Nelson, Mayor Lenny Curry and the sheriff, they have a 36-page document that's released several initiatives and technology on how that they want to reduce gang violence. The emails that I've already been getting as of this morning, Matt, they're all saying, hey, this is great. It must be political season, not for Melissa Nelson. Why don't we get this a year ago or 2 years ago?
That part I have to be disappointed a bit. I think that the point is the mayor and the police, Michael Williams, the sheriff, both have responsibility. The mayor gave Michael Williams all the money he wanted, but it's really up to the mayor and the sheriff to look at these things because they basically run the city. We have a strong mayoral government, and there's no reason why they can't work together to actually have been doing this for the last four or 5 years.
I've been hearing a report, Matt, that and I haven't been able to verify that the jobs in the police force that Mayor Curry created were simply attrition jobs. In other words, retiring police officers were leaving, and he didn't really –
this
add
is a,
to the police
I think
department,
I've
just
made
replace
this,
the ones who were there.
I have made this point before. How many more police officers are there now before? But you can only actually, through the school that they go through or whatever, training, I think it's 30 per class, and I think you only have two per year or maybe three, so that's only 90.
Yeah, because when
but
you
they're
say,
dropping out like
right.
flies because
well,
of
if,
the DART program.
If you say that I am hiring an extra, and this is not a dig to the mayor, this is just what government accountability is or unaccountability. When you say, hey, we've spent money to hire an additional 100 police officers, that's no different than people saying, yeah, we appropriated money for the wall that we haven't spent it.
Yeah, I mean, they have allocated money for additional positions on JSO. It's like 11 months to go through their training program for new officers. And so in that 11-month span, you're going to have officers that are going to retire, officers
sure.
that are going to leave for other agencies because they're going to get paid better. And so, yeah, I mean, I think the net gain is like maybe 40.
222-8255. I want to put you on the spot, David.
Oh, gosh.
In South Florida, after the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting last February, the mayor, the school superintendent. Now, I'm not trying to analyze it's all the same, but they were pretty much on the same page. The Scott Israel just got suspended, the sheriff down there by Ron DeSantis. They all agreed, hey, in order to do with crime in our schools was not about the culture, was not about more security, was that they all aligned themselves together on gun control, which I think could be an issue. I'll get to that in another moment. My question is, are the mayor and the sheriff in Duval County on the same page? We've played the clips. The sheriff has said, hey, it takes a lot more than just a paycheck to deal with the crime here in the cities. Some have said that the mayor really, you know, went after Alvin Brown, but the mayor wants to spend more money on helping his view, not spending on as far as technology, but programs and grants to somehow dissolve and maybe help out to reduce the area of crime. Are they on the same page?
I would say for the most part, yes. You know, I think both of them are using the same political consultant. They're both under the same umbrella of Tim Baker and that whole operation. So they are messaging the same, and they're, you know, they seem pretty friendly. I mean, I only see them in public settings, so it seems like the relationship is good. At some point, though, what part of that crime problem, like how much responsibility is the sheriff going to have to shield? How much of that weight is he going to have to hold if the mayor decides to punt this to him more? Than he is now.
You think this is, if it gets too bad, the mayor's just going to turn around and blame
I don't think it's going to be super explicit, but I think you're going to hear maybe some more messaging about, well, you know, this is, you know, the sheriff's office deals with crime, you know, very subtle ways to
Now, hold on. Now, I'm not putting words in the mayor's mouth. I'm saying politically, and this could be anybody, politically, you know where I'm going with this.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm not saying the mayor's going to do this, but let's say the numbers between the mayor and Ana Lopez Broche, let's say the mayor's up by 20 points. And then next thing you know, within several weeks, early, we still got a couple months here, a month and a half, that the numbers are really like even. It's quite possible you could see somebody sit back and go, yeah, I think the sheriff could do a better job. I'm not saying the mayor's going to do that. I'm saying it's not uncommon. Right. We've covered that before, David.
And Mike Williams is safe, all things equal. You know, he's going to be reelected. It's possible that Curry could have a fight.
Right. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, with Ana Broche right now, we don't know any of her messaging because she's not putting it out there. And so, you know.
Well, she did a couple of press releases last week.
Yeah, I mean, yes, she announced that she's running for mayor. She did the whole Curry crime wave thing, but you know who's on the airwaves right now?
I bet you $20 if you're in a Lopez Broche, you do a Jeopardy out of your own against Marilyn Curry. Triple two. Come on, a little humor there.
That's slick, though.
It was a good one by the mayor. That's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be surprised if she redid it.
That is slick.
But help me out. Do you think that was beneficial to the mayor?
I personally am of the opinion that it was a very creative ad. It entertained people. I don't know if it actually helped the mayor or hurt Broche.
And I've heard it both ways. I've heard some people say it was kind of childish. Other people are like, oh, it's funny. It's a mayor's race. It's political season.
Okay.
Talk 904-222-8255 Talk Radio WBOB.
On 95 South at Emerson, look out for a crash this morning. It's on the right side of the highway, 295 North before Beach Boulevard on the East Beltway. Another wreck there. And on Butler Boulevard west at Gate Parkway, there's an accident on the highway.
I'm Clayton Bromberg, the president of Underwoods. With Christmas behind us in 2019 here, the last thing you want to hear is somebody trying to sell you something. That's why at Underwoods, we'd like to stop and just say thank you to all the people that came in our stores over the last year. Whether you bought from us or not, we want to thank you for stopping by and giving us a chance to help. Here on Florida's First Coast, there are a lot of people trying to sell you jewelry, but at Underwoods, we have a different view because we consider it an honor for somebody to come in and just give us the chance to help, because if we do a good job, we might get a chance to serve again. Having served North Florida since 1928, all of us here understand what a customer really gives us during that visit to Underwoods, their trust, and it's up to us to do everything we can to keep it. So on behalf of everybody on the Underwood team, thanks again for coming into our stores, and we wish each of you a Happy New Year.
Here's Dan Celia with today's Stewardship Moment.
The idea of our stewardship, particularly that of our tithe, causes many people to say that the idea is one of compulsion, one of law or legalism, when it came to one's duty to give. Listen to what the Lord told Moses in Exodus 25, 1 and 2. Tell the Israelites to bring me an offering. You are to receive the offering for me from each man whose heart prompts him to give. The Lord wants our stewardship and our gifts to be that of our hearts. Our giving should always be a matter between us and the Lord.
You've just heard a stewardship moment with Dan Celia of Financial Issues Ministry, helping you plan, give, and invest wisely. For more information, log on to financialissues.org. That's financialissues.org.
Sean Robinson Realty has the ultimate real estate proposition for you. Own your own home. Sean Robinson Realty has likely sold or listed a property near you. If you close a home with Sean Robinson Realty, he'll give you a brand new big screen HD TV. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-77-SHAWN. Sean Robinson Realty is your one stop for all of your real estate needs. Residential sales, commercial leases, or property management. Locally owned and operated by people who know your community. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property, don't waste your time. Call Sean Robinson Realty. Imagine getting a free big screen HD TV upon closing. Sean Robinson Realty will do it. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty.
We're expecting lots of sunshine today and a high of 68 this evening. We'll be partly cloudy, overnight below 45. Right now it's 37 at WBOB.
WBOB is talk radio for Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for congressional members if a budget is not passed. The Jacksonville mayor, sheriff, and state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence. And the Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows.
To contact Ed Dean at AM 600 and 101.1 FM, call 222-TALK, 222-8255, or email ed@wbob.com.
Ed Dean, Roger Henderson, businessman, Councilman Matt Schellenberg, David Cotton, who is the business reporter, senior business reporter. A little dig there. In a good way for the Jack's Daily Record.
He's not that old.
He's old.
Well, neither am I, but still. You go to jacksdailyrecord.com. This issue, I think, correlates here locally with the upcoming elections. A new report from the Department of Justice, okay? The study shows that fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns and in that gun activity that's illegally used from gun shows. It says that 43% of them, plus more, get them from stealing, theft, or from the underground market. Dave, the reason why I bring this up, you've got these same groups out there, the Libs, the Take Them Down Jacks, whatever coalition. You've got the pro-gun coalition groups here, ban assault weapons now. They want to put on a constitutional measure for next year, banning assault rifles, which is every rifle, they say. Also, the issue of the Women's March. And every week, they come in front of the Jacksonville City Council, and they say that in order to address the crime problem here, let me sidestep it within the argument here. They say the only way to address the crime problem is not the sheriff, it's not the mayor, but to go after the guns. And this is what they've been saying. Oh, we need to close the gun show loophole. It's nothing more than just a soundbite. Here's the question I ask you. If crime is a big issue, then some would say, how do you address crime? To the mayor's credibility and to the sheriff, even to Melissa Nelson, who some of my listeners love to throw her under the bus. I mean, they say, well, 70% of the crimes are unsolved. I don't know. Maybe she inherited some of that, so I don't know if it's fair to blame her on all that. But having said that, they say the issue that Williams and Curry have not talked about is gun control. Some have said on the city council, hey, this is what we need. Is this going to be an issue, if not the mayor's race, but some of the city races?
Well, the messaging is not going to come from the mayor's office, nor is it going to come from any of the candidates that align with him. If there were a true Democrat running for mayor in this race, absolutely. They could absolutely run on that. I don't know if Anna Broche is going to try to message on that.
Yeah, but if I'm a news reporter, I'm certainly asking that question.
That question is certainly going to have to come up. You know, it's the race just started, so I believe that, and we don't know exactly what Anna Broche's platform is right now. She hasn't released a website. She doesn't have a lot of the specifics yet, but that has certainly got to be something. One thing that I hear a lot is, look, besides the gun show loophole, I think the real gun issue in at least in Jacksonville, some of these rough neighborhoods, is it is cheap for someone, a kid, a teenager, to get a gun, right? It's very cheap. They can go get a gun off the street from their friend that was stolen or, you know, illegally obtained or however they obtained it for a very, very small amount of money. That is the gun issue. It's not this gun show loophole that people come to city council and talk
Matt,
about.
Matt, let me ask you this question. With the initiatives that are led by Melissa Nelson, the state attorney's office, and then, of course, the mayor and the sheriff, they talk about this gun bounty program that's been in existence since 2017, which has resulted in about 300, and according to the News 4 Jax article, about 300, almost 400 guns being recovered. The sheriff offers about $1,000 for tips that lead to the recovery of a gun. I would have to assume in a crime out there. But again, it's almost like these gun buyback programs. I mean, we've heard that even being promoted. Some of these city council people out there. You don't see this as an issue or not?
No, I don't. But what is an issue? And I have this on every town hall meeting. The sheriff or his representative come out and say, "Lock your cars." Okay, two things happen.
Right.
I just looked it up. 13 guns have been stolen from cars already this year.
Wow.
So it's almost one per day.
Oh, that's
this
deal is
just insane.
And
why even leave the gun in the car?
I agree.
Someone can smash the window.
Well, if you don't have the concealed weapons permit, where else are you going to carry it?
And if you follow, if you follow JSO at all, that's their big push. The 9 p.m. routine.
Right.
Go out, get your valuables, your guns out of your car, lock your car. It is amazing that we have to tell people to get their valuables and their firearms out of their vehicles at night.
Right. And lock your cars.
Right?
I mean, and I have to admit, back in the 60s, we were growing up, we didn't even have locked the doors to our house. But now the world has changed. So, lock your car. It is extraordinary. When I looked it up, I wasn't sure what the number. 13 guns were stolen out of cars already this year.
222-8255, 23 minutes after the hour. Talk radio WBOB.
And if you're on Butler Boulevard this morning, look out for an accident. It is right around the Gate Parkway ramp as you make your way that way. 95 South and Emerson, a crash. And on the East Beltway, 295 South at Beach, a crash there this morning.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. 877-64-BIBLE.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 18th at 7 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Amadeus at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts. Saturday, January 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, January 19th from 2 to 5 p.m., it's the Winter Beach 5 and 10K Run at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed. It's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Anytime is a great time to give flowers to the ones you love. At Kuhn Flowers, we know that all too well. That's why we offer the longest-lasting, most beautiful floral arrangements in Jacksonville. Kuhn Flowers has the perfect flower arrangements for birthdays, holidays, good days, and even bad days. Show that special someone just how much you care with a gift of flowers from Kuhn Flowers. Call us today at 398-8601. That's 398-8601. Or shop online anytime at kuhnflowers.com.
Sunny day, day today with a high of 68. This evening, partly cloudy with an overnight low of 45. Currently, it's 37 here at WBOB.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
Hey, can I play, I love this, clip number 9. I asked the question about the border wall. Brett Baer, with his whole government shut down, asked Steny Hoyer, why does the left continue to make this conversation of a government shutdown and a border wall about the issue of race?
That protects people is not immoral. I think the issue is whether it works.
You have all kinds of Democrats speaking out about the wall.
Yes.
Beto O'Rourke, congressman who may be running for president, who knows, said that wall in itself is a racist reaction to a racist myth that does not reflect the reality of this country at all. Do you think a wall or barrier is racist?
Look, Brett.
Mr. Leader, here's the bottom line.
I don't talk in those terms.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the way we ought to look at it.
I don't think that's the way we ought to look at it. Is this whole race argument getting old, Matt? Border wall, government shutdown?
I don't watch TV anymore and listen to this gobbledygook. But I spoke to somebody yesterday that was born in Kuwait. It took them 10 years to be able to get a pass to leave Kuwait to come here. They are the most adamant against this illegal people coming across the border, because to be a citizen, a good citizen, you need to know our government, how it works, all these things. They come over and they don't know anything. They bring all their bad habits from where they are because they don't know any better.
Is that Schellenberg or Trump talking?
I don't know.
A lot of people would agree with you. But there is a truth to knowing what you're coming into.
I don't think it was a racial issue until the president made certain comments during the last couple of years. He's not the most tactful when it comes to this issue.
Okay.
When it comes to messaging. And that's
but
what
the
Democrats
right now,
but that's what the Democrats are, that's what they're jumping, that's what they're seizing.
But that was 2 years ago. Tell me what is the latest racist comments he's made about the reason why we need a border wall.
Well,
that's
all
I'm saying.
I mean, I get you there.
That's all I'm asking.
But you know, he's not messaging well right now on this thing.
The U.gov poll, they split them both. Trump gets his blame, but they blame Republicans and Democrats. Dead even split on that.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, when Clinton wanted more money, for government increases in Social Security, Republicans said no. Government shutdown, they get blamed. So Trump does the same thing, says, I want more money. They blame Trump, not the Dems.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Matt.
No,
I was just going to say, because of the shutdown, I think that we're going to discuss about how it's affecting Jacksonville. And I'm kind of interested to have some of the reporters, and even I'm going to ask through an email, ask the
why can't we have a shutdown? Anyway, 40 minutes, 30 minutes after the hour, Talk Radio. I'm shutting you down right now, right here on Talk Radio WBOB.
Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. Jacksonville Mayor, Sheriff, and State Attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence. The Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows. And Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for congressional members if a budget is not passed.
Contact Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
31 minutes after the hour. Good morning, Ed Dean, Roger Henderson at 222-TALK 904-222-8255. There's an interesting story, by the way. Councilman Schellenberg, businessman, here in the studios with us. Roger Henderson, also along with the senior business reporter from the JacksDailyRecord.com, our good friend, David Calton. The vice president's wife, Karen Pence, harmless, doesn't go out and try to, you know, do this. She's not, from what we know, is a political activist here, okay? So listen to this story from ABC News. She goes back to school, teaches part-time at a Christian school, okay? Teaches art. That's all she's doing. And listen to how, clip number 11, listen to the media having a field day with the story.
Mike Pence's wife, Karen, has returned to teaching at a Christian school in Virginia where gay students and teachers are not welcomed.
Second Lady Karen Pence's decision to teach art part-time at Emmanuel Christian School in Northern Virginia has generated controversy. That's because the private elementary school's website says it may refuse admission or discontinue enrollment of a student if a parent or guardian violates a biblical lifestyle.
Now,
prohibited behavior includes participating in, supporting, or condoning homosexual activity.
I mean, so this is not new. I mean,
is this any surprise?
That's what I'm asking.
I mean, the Pences have been anti-LGBT for long as they have been out there.
Right,
it's not surprising.
But that, to me, that's not so much the story. Is the follow-up, I want to play the clip here, coming up on clip number 12, is that there's hundreds of Christian schools that have had this on their, you know, their motto or their guidelines for 40 years. Play that clip, Roger.
In her surprise letter, the speaker writing, "Dear Mr. President, sadly, given the security concerns and unless government reopens this week, I suggest that we work together to determine another suitable date. Pelosi's other suggestion, consider delivering your State of the Union address in writing."
That's Pelosi. No, you want a clip number 10. I played the wrong one. Go ahead.
Banning homosexuality are not uncommon at private Christian schools, and generally they do not violate the law.
Karen Pence is sending a message.
But law professor Evan Wolfson says the question is not what's legal, it's what's right for victims of discrimination.
This is the Second Lady of the United States cheering that discrimination and exclusion on.
A spokesperson for Karen Pence said...
Go ahead and stop the clip there. This is what I'm getting at, Matt. I know, David, you've reported on this. There was a huge amount of turnout over the weekend that there's a lottery of people looking at school choice. Now, whether I'm not trying, but follow me, because you can lump them all together, because almost 50% of those that attend a public school in Florida go to a school of choice, whether it could be virtual school, whatever. You've got magnets, you've got charter schools. Parents aren't concerned about this type of an issue. All they care about is whether or not their kids are getting an education. Am I right or wrong on that?
I 100% agree with you. All they do, parents want to be, have their children go to a safe environment and be able to learn and have discipline. And because if you don't have discipline in the classroom, you can't learn anything.
I mean, David,
and that's the direction you need to go.
I mean, David, you covered education before with businesses and things. I mean, the bottom line is that if you feel that, I mean, what I find astonishing, if the schools are so great in Jacks, then why is this, there's a backup for all these charter schools out there, number one. Number two, that if you want to send your daughter or son to a private school based on discipline, you don't care what religion they teach. You just want to, I mean, is this now the new MO that if you send your kid to school, that all these Christian schools are a bunch of bigots?
Well, look, the only reason this is getting any traction whatsoever, it's because it's the, you know, the vice president's wife. That's the only reason. I don't think the average person cares. I think people, there's several prominent Christian private schools in Jacksonville. I guarantee if you look at their bylaws or whatever their charter is, it might have something in reference to this. There's no reason. Like, look, I don't agree with that type of language personally. I think more inclusion is better than telling people they can't come. But you know what? It's a private Christian school. That is their right to say who they want to let in and who they don't want to let in. And again, the only reason this is a story is because it is Karen Pence.
Well, first of all, I was on a board for a Catholic parochial school for 24 years. We never turned people away for being not being able to afford it. All we expected them to do, the parents to be involved and care about the benefit that they will get from the Catholic high school. And yes, every Friday We would have mass. If they didn't want to attend, they didn't have to attend. And we had all sorts of religions that they actually would go to for the peacefulness of the service.
Well, and I can tell you, this issue of LGBT is probably very low on the priority list for most Christian schools when they're looking at people trying to
come in. Is it low on the priority list for voters coming up?
Well, again, that goes back to local Democrats not being able to field enough candidates to message behind this.
Let me give you another story out there. Here's clip number six. The Democrats, Kirsten Gillibrand, is out there saying that illegal aliens should have the right to drive to be able to obtain a driver's license. We're not talking, you know, non-citizens. We're talking about illegal aliens. She's out there. The whole issue about the border wall and the government shutdown, they're all back out there wanting to abolish ICE. Clip number six.
I don't think ICE today is working as intended.
Well, you think you should get rid of the agency?
I believe that it has become a deportation force. And I think you should separate the criminal justice from the immigration issues. And I think you should reimagine ICE under a new agency with a very different mission and take those two missions out. And that's why I believe you should get rid of it, start over, reimagine it, and build something that actually works.
A deportation force out there. Here's clip. Play clip number three, because they're all saying that ICE doesn't have any government accountability. Laura Ingraham with the ACU Match Slap.
So that's the new thing. They're rogue. They've gone rogue. Deportation force, kids in cages, etc.
Yeah, you know, ICE did all the same things under President Obama, Laura, but you never read any of these stories. You never read about this rogue agency that was somehow out of bounds. And by the
way, this rogue agency.
Rogue.
Can you tell me two areas where there were rogue agencies under the Obama White House? Give me one.
I can't think of anybody, but
you
can't.
Not anybody.
It's off the top. But what I think it's such. I don't have an answer for you,
David. You got two rogue agencies you can name under Obama?
No, I'm not touching this one.
Really?
I don't know.
Let me ask the audience. Give me two rogue agencies.
I bet your callers will.
Yeah. So if you want to go down this road, you want to talk about rogue agencies. Give me two rogue agencies underneath Barack Obama at 222-TALK, 222-8255.
Holder at the Attorney General's office.
Ah, that's exactly right. That's one of them. The other
Fast
one would be the IRS.
Furious, right?
Well, that's right.
I'm trying to think of the other one. Don't put the pressure on me.
Guys know that serving black football players at Clemson is racist? Here's clip. You guys will like this one. Clip number seven, ESPN female host. I'm not making this up.
Oh, my God.
Roger and I were laughing about that. Oh, here we go. The calls are coming in. So here's the other one. Let me play this clip for you before we take some calls. Here is ESPN saying that the elements of racism from the White House by serving Clemson football players fast food.
Over in ESPN, one of their hosts suggested it was racist, not surprisingly, for the president to serve the Clemson football team fast food at the White House. Fast food is the food of bigots, of course.
When I saw him giving the football players, it's a predominantly black sport and fast food, my thought went a very different place.
Well,
also,
the president likes fast food.
A bunch of jobs. Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, the bottom line is fast food. How did fast food become racist?
I am so tired of this story. Like, who cares what the president served to a bunch of football players? Like, it is the biggest nothing story in.
Do you know what Roger said? Roger agreed with me. Can you imagine if he served Popeyes and KFC?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It would have been worse.
You know, I would have been okay with any of it.
You saw the one kid stacked up with Big Macs.
Yeah.
I mean,
they had a great time at the White House, having burgers and fries. These are college students, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
And all races of college students eat fast food, for last I checked.
Let's go to Brett. But can you imagine if they had veggie food? They probably would have seen, the president thinks they're all fat. Let's go to Brett. Brett, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, guys. Talking about the rogue agencies, obviously Lois Lerner and the whole IRS situation, but a lot of people don't really understand about how much overreach the EPA had, especially in some of the incidents in Alaska with some of their overreach and some of the emails that were deleted through all that with the people that were running the EPA. So
Brett, hold on. That's a great point. Explain to the audience. Give me a Reader's Digest of what you're bringing up.
Okay, so the EPA basically came in and they kind of forced a lot of the mining industry and a lot of the people in Alaska.
That's right.
To deal with a lot of things that were outside of their purview. And there was a massive email deletion that happened, and a lot of emails that got covered up there that weren't really covered heavily in the news, because the whole thing about Hillary Clinton servers and the massive deletes with Lois Lerner were kind of front topic, and the whole issues going on in the EPA were a little bit pushed aside, especially since Alaska doesn't have a high population. A lot of the stuff goes on there that we don't really see as much of.
Hey, Brett, good to talk to you. That's an interesting take. What he's talking about, a lot within the EPA got ruled by the Supreme Court underneath the Obama administration, overextended their powers of the executive orders, so the EPA can outdo what its guidelines or what Congress had allowed them to do on certain government regulation. That's what he was bringing up. But there was quite a few of that right there.
Yeah, we had a Republican that started that thing.
Yeah, right, sure. Virginia Nixon. Let's go to James. James, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Yeah, the last caller kind of stole a lot of my thunder. Yeah, the EPA, IRS, and I would even say the IG with the Fast and Furious of them running guns over into Mexico. There's just a lot of things that were happening that seemed so corrupt in the last administration. The appointing of czars.
He brings up a good point, the appointment of czars out there. Let's go to Jeanette. Jeanette, good morning. You're on WBOB.
Good morning, Ed. Hey, so I'm old enough to remember, with regard to the food in the White House, that, by the way, Donald Trump paid for out of his pocket. He didn't charge the government.
So generous.
Yeah.
I'm old enough to remember when Barack Obama flew in $65,000 worth of hot dogs at taxpayer expense for an event that he was holding for his peeps in the White House. So, you know, nobody bothers to comment on that. That were people offended when he flew in $65,000 worth of hot dogs?
You know,
don't look it up.
That's kind of interesting. Go ahead, David.
I feel like Sean Hannity probably had a segment on that.
Yeah, he probably did. I mean, here's the point. I'm surprised that they didn't interview nutritionists going, well, how come they didn't get one with that only instead of 1,000 calories, they didn't get a burger with 400 calories?
Where are the veggie burgers at? That's the question that people need to know.
Did they bring any milkshakes in? That's what I would have gone directly
ridiculous.
To.
It's been so overplayed. Yeah. It's just, you know.
But do you understand why? But do you understand why I played that? It just
it is, yeah.
Because I didn't listen. It's kind of like when even some of mine on the conservative aisle would nitpick certain things about Obama. I mean, Michelle Obama. Listen, whatever her politics may be, you know, you don't want to force local schools to dictate their school food policy. She can go in and recommend, hey, listen, man, we want to be able to maybe lower the calorie count. Look, I don't have a problem with that, being a former diabetic. But I mean, bottom line is that I understand that. But yet, if you just have it, you want to give awards to the Clemson Tigers for crying out loud, and somehow this was all racist.
Nothing to report. Reporters need to do. All they're doing is attacking Trump, and at some point, people are just going to turn them off and just go the other way.
That happened. It happened in 2016. It's the reason why he is now the president of the United States, is because most average people do not see this as an issue. Yet the ABCs of the world, the NBCs, the national media, they have 24 hours to fill on their television stations and they latch on.
44 minutes after the hour, talk radio, WBOB.
I-95 South at Emerson, look out for a wreck this morning. 295 North at Bay Meadows Road, there's a crash on the right. And I-10 East, 295, two lanes are blocked due to a serious wreck there.
Find a new home through Home Finder Realty. Listing or buying a residential property or planning to build? Call Home Finder Realty. Home Finder Realty has multiple 3 to 4 bedroom homes available for rent in the Intercoastal area, many with community pools. A beautiful new 4 bedroom in Buccaneer Point, 4 bedroom with 3 car garage in Windsor Chase, 3 bedroom with second floor bonus room in Johns Creek. Rent a 3,100 square foot gorgeous 4 bedroom in Old Mill Creek between Town Center and Tinseltown. For information on these and other rentals, call Robert McDonald at Home Finder Realty, 241-5501 or HFRJax.com.
Are you afraid of the IRS because you have unfiled or unpaid taxes? Most don't realize that having unfiled federal taxes is a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail for each unfiled return. With the IRS, it's never a question of if they'll come, but when. We are J. David Tax Law, a local firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to IRS protection is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. Call today for a no-cost consultation at 904-606-0009. That's 904-606-0009. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, double E, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483. Or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
The first thing you're going to have to learn is that until you stop expecting our politicians or anyone else to change your life isn't going to change. The only person going to change your life is you, but you need to know how.
Want to learn how? Meet Del Walmsley's Lifestyles Unlimited team and get your map to retirement in 5 years or less. Saturday, January 19th from noon to 4 at the DoubleTree by Hilton Jacksonville Riverfront. Attend for free. Register at retireinfiveyearsorless.com. That's retireinfiveyearsorless.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at retireinfiveyearsorless.com.
Lots of sunshine today. We have a high of 68. This evening, we'll see partly cloudy conditions. Overnight, the low 45. Right now, it's 37 at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9. Dennis Prager at noon. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
And here are the top stories we're bringing you this morning. The Jacksonville mayor, sheriff, and state attorney have released a plan they say will help reduce gang violence. The Department of Justice says fewer than 1% of criminals get their guns from gun shows. And Florida Senator Rick Scott sponsors a bill that would end pay for members of Congress if a budget is not passed.
Contact the Ed Dean Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM by calling 222-TALK or 222-8255 or email ed@wbob.com.
All right, let's get to some quick emails. A lot of people always like to weigh in. Email address ed@, as you just heard, wbob.com. Ed, I will certainly, as I always do, follow you and Roger and the rest of your guests on the issues to determining who would become the next mayor. Would you please ask your guests if they had one to two issues in a Reader's Digest version, what do they believe is or could become the two big issues in the mayor's race? David, I'll start with you.
So the first one is going to be crime. That is what Anna Brochet is already messaging off of. She's got this.
Whether she messages or not, what do you think is going to be?
Crime.
Okay.
Crime has got to be, especially when you have headlines every single day about somebody getting shot in the city or violent crime.
All right, what's the second one?
The second one is going to be transparency. There's this
the JEA?
There's this idea that there's a lack of transparency.
Roger, you see that? That's interesting.
Yeah, transparency. I think the issue is going to be JEA, crime, and I also think the mayor is probably going to tout a lot of the economics going on.
I agree. Yes. Go ahead, Matt.
You hit all the numbers. I wrote these things down as you were speaking, and I went to crime, transparency, and I said JEA, but it has to do with the inside baseball of it all.
Here's one from Pamela. She says, give me an under-the-radar issue that you think will be a big issue coming up in Jacksonville for the election this year. That's
I
will say
there's my crystal lake ball.
You know what, Dan? The amount of money we're spending on bringing people to Jacksonville downtown and seeing nothing getting done. That district that was just done, that deal was struck 4.5 years ago, and they still haven't turned any dirt.
The deal was struck 6 months ago through city council, but Yes, they have had that development and plan for 5 years. They just formed their community development district.
Right.
Ironically, that's the one that's furthest along.
All right, give me an under-the-radar issue you think will become an issue. Not a top tier, but...
Look, under-the-radar issue right now, and I'm surprised candidates are not messaging on this now, is this federal government shutdown. I don't understand why you're either, you know, if you're for or you're against it or you support the president or don't, I have really heard nothing from local candidates about
that.
I got
a couple, but go ahead.
You know, I don't know, but I think there's a potential of Curry and Mike Williams starting to go after each other if Anna Borchia plays it right, because it's very easy, I think, for Curry to blame Mike Williams if things get real hot and heavy with respect to the crime issue.
Okay, I admit I'm reaching here for this. Mm-hmm. But I think Ana Lopez Broche will make an issue about the UAE returning the money back if people do not like certain countries in the Middle East, fear of associations with terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
I think that will be made as – and I still – listen, I think the JEA thing, I think that was really overplayed, but I think the transparency, if she wants to come out and say, hey, listen, if the America could get his way and sell JEA, your power rates – I'm not saying it's accurate. I'm just saying – your power rates will go up. I think that could be an issue.
The fact of the matter is Florida Power and Light actually have lower rates. But
do they have
I think
in
it
every
has to do,
area they operate? Or
I think they have lower rates.
Well, first of all, they have lower rates. And because they have options, they have five different options that they can use whatever
the private
power
sector,
source
they
want. Yesterday, I think it was in the Daily, is that they're going to have like 50 million more panels of solar power by the year 2030.
Yeah, they're doing 250 megawatts over the next couple of years.
And so the question is, can JEA do that and match it? The answer is no. In fact, we can't
well,
do
that's
it because
JEA.
Because
no, that's JEA is going to be doing 250 megawatts.
Well, Florida Power is going to do substantially
more.
Oh,
I'm sure they are.
Because they have the money and they get tax credit still, and quite frankly, the cheapest source of power right now is solar.
I think Anna has not made a big enough deal out of the fact that the mayor, the sheriff, and the state attorney's office are very close together. I mean, is Melissa Nelson going to investigate Lenny Curry over, you know, allegations of sunshine violations or doing backroom deals?
Wow.
I think there is that messaging
that ended up coming out.
David just gave you the most underrated topic.
That, I mean,
coming up in the last.
I mean, it took me a second to think about it.
Well, you think of
the
Katrina Brown case, that may have something to do with that.
Well, and also, you know, there's this report that, you know, Melissa Nelson's staff were at a public meeting held between Garrett Dennis a couple of months ago, and that they were looking into potential sunshine violations between him and Anna Broche. But, I mean, can she message off of that and saying, we're not
confident?
What do
you mean by public? You mean like a reception?
It's a noticed meeting where, you know, when more...
It's not getting an injunction. They can hang out as long as they're not talking business.
Well, that's the problem. They're always talking business. And
ooh, interesting.
I'm going to throw that out there as someone who covers this and knows that, I'm sorry, if my office is next door to yours, chances are we might talk about something. I'm not saying that they're going full-fledged conversations, but...
You could have a monologue with your colleague, but you cannot respond to him or her.
There you go.
Okay.
You know, there's times
that's
when
and by the way, look at this particular example. People know exactly where I stand by listening to the radio. And so that I...
Well, this is public. So.
Do you know what? Right. When Matt comes in this radio show, I wish there was like a sunshine law. This way I wouldn't have to talk to him. All right. I kid.
Wow.
You're one of my, good
no
friends.
Golf for you.
54 minutes after the hour, talk radio WBOB.
On 95 South at Emerson, there's been a crash. At least three cars involved. 295 North at Bay Meadows. Another accident's causing a lot of delay there. And an I-10 East at 295. Two lanes are blocked there due to a crash.
The Cal Thomas Commentary is brought to you by Values Through Media. Now here's syndicated columnist Cal Thomas.
The annual March for Life takes place tomorrow in Washington. It's been 46 years since the Supreme Court struck down all protections for babies before they're born. This has contributed to a callousness about human life at every level of culture. It's also fueled illegal immigration. Companies and farmers need workers, and Americans are not having enough babies to fill the need. The arguments haven't changed in 46 years, but the technology and pregnancy help centers have helped the pro-life cause. The abortion rate has declined, and increasing numbers of young people are pro-life, favoring restrictions on the procedure. It's difficult to predict what a conservative court will do, especially if another conservative judge makes it to the Supreme Court. As I've often said, abortion is not the cause of our decadence, but a reflection of it. A nation that focuses on self and not God is capable of anything. It's discouraging, especially, that so-called civil rights leaders are fine with abortion when it has decimated the black community more than street violence. Support your local pregnancy help center if you want to make a difference. I'm Cal Thomas.
For a free copy of today's commentary, visit calthomas.com or write us at Values Through Media, P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. That's P.O. Box 373340, Key Largo, Florida 33037. Please specify the date and subject. Your tax-deductible gifts to Values Through Media help support us. Listen again next time for the Cal Thomas Commentary.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
My story begins with debt, a lot of debt, credit card debt, and I heard a commercial for Trinity. I gave them a call.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
When I first called, I was a little embarrassed and kind of ashamed, and I looked at the numbers, and I saw how quickly that astronomical debt that was in my life would go away.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
What I would tell other people, please pick up the phone and call Trinity. Just let them put together a program and see how affordable and easy it is to pay off your debt.
Call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Hey guys, good news. The outrageously expensive little blue pill is now generic, which means you can get the prescription medication to treat ED at affordable prices. And Hims makes it extra affordable. Right now, get your first month supply for free. All you pay is just $5 for your medical consultation when you go to forhims.com/play. After that, it's just $30 for a month's supply. Sure beats paying big bucks for just one blue pill, doesn't it? Plus, you won't need an awkward in-person doctor's appointment to get the prescription. Hims has doctors online who can prescribe the medication, and a pharmacy sends it right to your door. It's affordable, private, and incredibly easy. Nobody likes dealing with ED. Now, thanks to Hims, nobody has to. And that's really good news. To get your first order for just $5, you need to go to this exclusive address, forhims.com/play. That's forhims.com/play for your first month for just $5. forhims.com/play.
See website for full details. Not all services through the Hims platform are available in all 50 states.
Plan on a sunny day today and a high of 68. This evening will be partly cloudy, 45 the low, 37 now here at WBOB.
Financial issues with Dan Celia at 9 this morning. Now, back to the Ed Dean Radio Show on AM 600 and 101.1 FM. WBOB.
58 minutes after the hour. David Cotton from the Jax Daily Record. Good to have you on today, man. Good articles. I read you guys stuff every morning.
Yeah, we got an article on all the candidates who are running for city council on JaxDailyRecord.com. Go check it out.
Wait, 60 candidates? You did an article on
51, I think it's 51 candidates who have qualified to run for city council.
Wow. Those.
So we've got a breakdown of all those races.
Wait, but you don't do an expose on all the people.
No. We just, hey, here's who's running. This is their
affiliation. Because some of them aren't even worthy. I mean, just.
And also, there's already four city council members who have won unopposed. So, because nobody else qualified.
Hey, by the way, the countywide, it's what, Terrence Freeman and Lisa King?
That's from that that's area. Yes. Yeah.
That
you
one,
got
yeah.
Sam Newby and somebody
else. Did Ron
else.
Salem get an opponent?
Yes, he did.
Really? Who did he get?
He got the okay. I don't even know.
You're gonna have to go to JaxDailyRecord.com and read it.
It was there was the first ECA for Joyce Morgan that was involved much in the Democratic Party.
No, Ron, I'm just looking at some of the city line ones.
Darren Morgan.
Something. I don't know. I've lost count. Listen, okay. Councilman Schellenberg, good to see you. David Cotton, Roger Henderson. Another busy show lined up for you tomorrow. Any part of the show that you've missed, just download the podcast. Rip off of the week with Adam Andrzejewski. Just go to WBOB.com, WBOB.com. We're also thankful to God every day for the show. Thankful to all of you that tune in. We'll be set and ready to go, good Lord willing, tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. As what normally is not said during the week, probably when, fortunately, will be said tomorrow. You can always email me, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., Ed Dean and Roger Henderson.